are back and better than ever on ESPN Radio. Mike and Mike in the Morning, live on your TV on ESPN2. We're live in Cleveland. We're live at Progressive Field, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And this is going to be a terrific hour. In a half an hour, the reunion of the Golic brothers, Cleveland's favorite sons. Mike's brothers, Bob and Greg, will both join us. But right now, this is becoming a lovely tradition for us. He is the president of the Cleveland Browns. And for the second straight year, good enough to come spend some time with us when we're in town. Here's Mike Holmgren. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It's wonderful to have you here. There's so many big-picture NFL stories
that
a person with your lifetime of experience, I think, will really be insightful on. So we'll get to all that. But let's start with your team here. You make the decision in the draft. Two interesting ones. The first one was one I completely endorsed. And I'm sure that will make you feel great.
Well, you feel better about that now?
I feel better
already. Wow, you talk about being able to exhale now.
Which was to trade up and go get Trent Richardson. I tweeted it the day before the draft. I said, you know what? If you want to get that guy, and I loved him coming out, and Hoot, obviously you did too, don't take any chances. Who knows what could happen to you one spot ahead of you? What was the mentality on making the trade up to make sure you got the running back?
Well, exactly what you said, Mike. When we decided that Trent was going to be our guy, you know, we were a little nervous about someone coming up to Minnesota's pick, Tampa Bay being the most likely because they needed a running back, in our opinion. And we talked about it and came to the conclusion, the same conclusion you did. We weren't going to lose the player. We had extra picks that we had established from the year before. And to use some of those picks to get up to number, we thought it was the right thing to do. Ultimately, I always feel if you get the player you want, then it's worth it. And I don't think we had to give away too much. Contrary to what people thought, we had to do it. There were other people involved, and if we hadn't, then we ran the risk, a serious risk, of losing the player. So that's what happened.
Before we get then to the second pick in the first round, Brandon Whedon, let's go back and before Washington made the move they made for RG3, how much were you guys trying to be a player in that move to get up to number two?
Well, we were in it, hard, I thought. I thought we had a lot of ammunition to make that trade. I had talked to Indianapolis about Luck, to be honest with you. So, you know, we were working down the chain. And when it came time to negotiate with the Rams, you know, the Rams were involved with other people. And we were willing to go so far. In our particular stage of development, we already had targeted some people that could come in and start for us. And we could only go so far. And, you know, right or wrong, that's what we decided to do. We went that far, and then Washington came in with a blockbuster deal, and we didn't get him. But, okay, so then that doesn't happen. So now what do? You take your ball and go home? No, you got to keep playing. So now we go to our next plan of attack, which is kind of how it came down.
Mike and Mike and Mike Holmgren. So that's the part of it that I found interesting is, and you made no secret of it. In fact, I've been handed a story here from the Cleveland Plain Dealer where you were talking about it openly, that you liked the receiver Kendall Wright a lot in this draft. And if he falls to you, maybe you take him. He doesn't fall to you, and so you take the quarterback Brandon Whedon. Explain that, because you've been in the sport so long. It seems to me if you're making a decision on a guy who is most likely going to become your starting quarterback, that's a major commitment. It doesn't sound to me as though it's something I would do only if this guy doesn't fall to me. Can you sort of take us through the mentality there?
We were trying to have our cake and eat it too, really, at the start of it. We wanted everything. And to get everything, we thought we could get a wide receiver with the 22nd pick. Then we said, well, once we decided we wanted Whedon, what does this mean? We had the pick number 37. And so you start going, okay, who's after 22? And they need a quarterback? They need a quarterback. And you could make a case that, no, none of those teams between 22 and 37 really needed a quarterback his age that would have to come in and probably play right away. What you can't ever factor in is someone hopping in there. And so that was a concern. But it was answered for us because Wright went before, was the pick before. Just prior to that pick, Tom Heckert and Pat and I were talking about, well, how are we going to do this? How do you want to do this? Do we want to, you know, we're going to lose the quarterback, you know, that kind of discussion. And then, bang, the receiver gets taken. Once the receiver was taken, then I said kind of what you said, Mike. I said, look, if we're committed and we were thinking about even moving up from 37 to take him, let's take him now. Take him now. Boom, he's done. He's the quarterback. And then we don't have to worry about it, and that's what happened.
Cleveland Browns president Mike Holmgren joining Mike and Mike in the Morning, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. So now you have Whedon, and in this article it talks about how you're not handing him the ball as a starter. We know that'll happen with Luck and RG3. Doesn't look like that'll happen with Tannehill going to Miami. He'll have to earn it as well. So now talk about, you have Whedon, Colt McCoy, the thought of possibly trading him, and Seneca Wallace. How is this quarterback competition going to work?
Well, it's going to be interesting, to say the least. I mean, they're all at the facility right now in the offseason program working like crazy. They're all good guys, and they understand the competitive situation they're in. Do they have to like it? I'm not asking them to like it necessarily, but they've handled it very, very well, like I thought they would. Now, we'll see. And I told Whedon, I've never had a player, Mike, that we were going to draft as a coach or now in my current role, sit in my office prior to the draft and said, okay, if we pick you, you're the starter. I've never said that. I don't think it's the right thing to say, because if they don't become a starter, then they feel you've lied to them and been dishonest. So I'm not going to do that. But they're going to compete. Now, we didn't draft Whedon. I mean, because of his age, you kind of think, okay, he can't sit and watch for 2 or 3 years. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But he's got to prove it. He has to prove it like every other player we have, and that's how we're approaching it. And then what happens down the road on a trade or who we go to camp with, that'll play out, I think. We're not forcing that. We're not forcing that at all.
Mike Holmgren is the president of the Browns. He's here with us on our set with his Subway Fresh Take. You can try the new Subway Smokehouse Barbecue Chicken on your choice of freshly baked bread. Subway, eat fresh. We'll take a short break here. We'll come back and we'll go some big picture questions with a man who has spent a lifetime in professional football. And I'll tell you right now, the first of them will be, with all the stuff that we're seeing right now, will we recognize the game of football 20 years from now? We're all fortunate enough to still be watching football 20 years from now. Will we recognize the game as how similar it is to the game we're watching
right
now?
See that? He gave you the question, so now you have time to think about the answer.
And he will have time while we
pressure.
Have this
a lot
note
of pressure.
On 1-800-Flowers.com. Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio and live on your TV on ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance, live today at Progressive Field in Cleveland. The Golic Brothers reunion is 15 minutes away. But right now we continue our conversation with the president of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Holmgren, who's nice enough to come down and see us. And as I mentioned, Mike, I mean, you've spent a lifetime in this sport, going back to your days as the offensive coordinator of the legendary 49er championship teams, going back to Joe Montana. So you come with literally a lifetime of experience. So to start big picture, with all this talk that is out there right now, the way they're changing the game, all of the safety concerns, the fears about concussions and more, if we're all fortunate enough to be having this conversation 20 years from now, do you think we would recognize the game of football that will be being played then?
I absolutely do. I think football has been a certain way for a long time. Now, granted, now the league is doing everything possible, in my opinion, to make it safer for the players. You know, better equipment, some rule changes, and all those things. And they will continue to do that. But it's a much loved game. It's a great game. And as long as people kind of understand and we can kind of re-educate a little bit the players and the coaches, quite honestly, you know, we'll see the same game in 20 years.
Do you think the players need that, even and the coaches, that the players need that re-education?
I think you need to talk about it, Mike. I mean, I think you're making a mistake if you don't talk about it. I don't think there's any player that plays. I know there's no player that plays and wants to get hurt. And really, down deep, he doesn't want to hurt anybody, really. But so how do you kind of make it better? Take away some of the blatant things that anybody looks at and goes, oh, man, that was bad. You know, I think we can do that. I hope we can do it.
One of the elements of safety, though, and Mike and I talk about this all the time, is a player being willing to protect himself in that way. And Mike says all the time, look, guys, as long as this game is competitive, as long as other people want their jobs, they're not going to come to the sideline and tell the coach, hey, my head is ringing.
Right.
You know, some concussions are obvious.
Right.
Some are not so obvious.
Right.
How do you combat that mentality in a player?
Well, you know, we lived through that in a very much publicized play last year with Colt McCoy, and the player wants to be out on the field. It's happened a number of times in my career with players. Steve Young, I had him in college, and after the game, he didn't remember any part of the game. None of it. So, but he played the whole game. So I think what the new rules that are being implemented will help about some people watching, some cameras on the field to alert the doctors so they have more information. And as long as we keep talking about it, and we can help in that area, because no one wants to put a guy out there at risk. They really don't.
Do you think there'll be some drastic changes? And I don't think I stand by it. I don't think the players are going to change their culture. But do you think the league will say, if you are diagnosed with a concussion from the independent doctor, that you'll be out? Now you're sitting for a long while. Do you think they'll, I guess for lack of a better term, be overprotective that way?
Well, I think there's a chance for that, because so much has been mentioned about it. But you err on the side of caution, I suppose. And now the rule, if a player, if they even think he's got, as we used to say, his bell rung just a little bit, they take him off the field and take him inside. Okay, so right away you lose the player for a while. While inside now, they're going to give a series of tests, which takes some time. And if he can't pass those tests, he stays. He doesn't come back out.
Mike Holmgren is with us here. And so then the other hot-button topic, of course, has been this issue of bounties. You've been a coordinator. You've been a head coach. You've been an executive. As you see what's happened with New Orleans and the conversation that it has begun, what is your perspective?
Well, I don't like it. I think the league has to do something. The idea of putting money in a pot and being directed or thinking about using that, earning that money to injure a player and putting him out of the game, I think is wrong. And it bothered me when I heard about it. Now, I'm not naive. In all the teams I ever coached, I'm fairly certain, even though I did not have direct knowledge, but I'm fairly certain that the players got together, defensive backs, put money in a pot and said, first interception gets the $100, or the defensive line, first sack gets this. I know that goes on. I'm sure it's going on most teams. Okay, but when coaches get involved, organizations get involved and put money in, and then they get a little more specific on how that's dead wrong. And we have to do something about it. And that's why we talk about it. I think it's not an overreaction by the league or anybody else. In the league meetings this year, in fact, I stood up and talked a little bit about, in front of the owners and coaches and so on. A lot of people did, but I got up and I said, there has to be a bright line. The decision makers for organizations are in this room. We must go back to our cities and talk to whoever we need to talk to, our coaches, our staffs, our players, and say, this is the way it's going to be done from now on. So let's learn from this. And hopefully it happens.
Is it? I try to explain, and maybe you can do a better job, if you buy into some of what I'm saying, when the word bounty is really giving the thought out there to people that you're trying to take someone's knee out or take someone's head out. And I said, for the most part, players, even though you hear the word bounty, it's not about going and actually trying to hurt someone. Within the course of the game, if you get that hard hit, which you would take, and it's legal and someone's out of the game, that's what we more mean. Not everybody, I can't speak for everyone, but that was more my mentality and our thought process.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. And I think, your life and your business is language. Well, I think when you read things about this incident, you have to be careful, because a word, what do people think of when they hear this word? The boom, they think of something horrible. Where in fact, you're asking your defensive players, if a guy not hit him hard, I mean, that's how you play defense. The term bounty, the word bounty, has a negative, very negative connotation. And so, but you must separate. I think you have to separate what actually happens on the football field and what was done in this instance. Now, the league isn't. The league is saying, look, no more of these little pots,
yeah.
None of that. It's all done. This is all over. We don't need this. Plus, in this era of player safety, it just was like the perfect storm. And so they're trying to just stop it right now.
Mike Holmgren is here with us. I want you to hear something Chris Carter said on our show earlier this morning. CC first said it last night on Hill and Schlereth here on ESPN Radio, came on today to explain it a little more detail, and that is that this idea of quote-unquote bounties does not just apply to defensive players. He said he had bounties on defensive players when he was playing the wide receiver position. So I asked him to explain that. What does that mean? He says, all right, Romanowski is saying something to me on the field, and he took it from there. Here was Chris Carter.
you're like, you're going to have a rough day today, Carter. You come across the middle, I'll end your career. Well, no problem. You ain't going to end my career because I got a wife to take care of and two kids and a couple houses and several cars. I'm going to protect that. So I go to Randall McDaniel, the left guard, who's an all-pro, and say, bro, Romanowski is acting a fool. I need some protection. I go to Todd Stoops, the left tackle, hey, Stoops, keep an eye on Romanowski. I go to Corey Stringer, the right tackle, and say, hey, Vic Corey, I got some food money for us this week, bro. Watch Romanowski. It goes something like that.
So there's Chris Carter's explanation here live on Mike and Mike. I've said it many times. He's the most interesting man in the world. So I think that the layperson like myself hears that and thinks, okay, Chris Carter is basically saying to his offensive lineman, go get that guy before he gets me. Am I getting that right? Am I missing something here? When you hear that, are you surprised by any of that, Mike? Well,
first of all, I'm shocked that Bill Romanowski would say anything like that. Bill, we drafted Bill when I was in San Francisco, and I know Bill very well. So, but I think, again, you're getting into the word bounty. I think it's going on forever that players' teammates protect teammates. I know that that's happened. I've seen it. You know, I tell you what, if Joe Montana got hit and they thought he got hit, you know, Randy Cross and those guys would, you know, that kind of, they had a way of stopping that. And no one talked about it very much. It was just the way it was. And I think teammates protected teammates if they thought one of the opponent players was getting a little rambunctious.
It's an endlessly interesting
conversation.
It really
is. And quickly to end this, when I talk about it, you know, what the league's trying to do, I get. At times, I think they've gone too far with protecting quarterbacks and receivers. If someone were to say that to you, what would your answer be?
No, I think, again, I think it's misunderstood a little bit. I think what the rules really state is that, not with the quarterback so much, because there are positions that they don't want him to hit down low and
right.
Things like that, because they're the most vulnerable in the pocket. The receivers, eliminate the headshots.
Right.
That's, if you just say it that way, don't hit him in the head with a shoulder, an elbow, a helmet. Of course you can't use the crown of the helmet, but people, there's a lot of these rules and they get confused. If you just said, don't hit him in the head, you know, you can play it, you can hit him hard, you know, but when he's vulnerable and the ball's flown over his head and he's kind of relaxed and all of a sudden wham, you can avoid that type of thing, I think.
Mike Holmgren, we so appreciate you coming
really
down
here
and doing this for us. I hope that it's an annual tradition.
Good.
And it's wonderful to see you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The best
much.
Of the family. We met Mike's lovely family, came out and saw us a year ago, and it's great to have him here. Mike and Mike brought to you by Protection One. We want you to know, no matter your company's size, Protection One takes your security personally. Here's their phone number, 866-766-1881.